Thank you, choir, and Brother Ken, and instrumentalists. Blood of Jesus, be my all. Hear this sinner when he calls. Amen. That's our prayer. If you would take your Bibles and turn with me to Colossians chapter 1. We're going to continue part 2 of a study or a little lesson we started last week. Paul's thanksgiving and prayer for the Colossians. Verses 3 through 14. We're going to concentrate on verses 9 through 14. This morning, when you find your place, if you would stand in honor of the reading of God's Word, Colossians 1, verses 9 through 14. And so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. May you be strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He's delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Father, we pray that You would draw us close to You this morning. God, I pray that this word would move in our hearts. God, it would bring transformation. God, that we would hear and that we would see this great sacrifice of Christ, our Savior, on our behalf, sinners. God, we would hear the words of Paul as he gives thanks for the gospel in these Colossians. God, He calls them to walk in a manner worthy of the gospel. God, may we hear this same plea this morning from Your Word. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So just a little quick recap as we look at the Apostle Paul last week. He was so thankful for the Colossians. Remember, Paul had never seen this group of believers. As we talked about the power of the gospel and it going forth and transforming hearts, remember that there was a guy by the name of Epaphras, I kept saying last week. This man was probably saved under Paul's ministry there in Ephesus, about 90 miles away, 100 miles away from Colossae. And he would take the gospel seriously. He would hear and understand the Great Commission to go and make disciples. And so he would go back to this Colossian church and he would share the good news of Christ, that he loves them, that he loves people, and that Jesus came to die so that in the place of sinners. And he began to set up shop and teach and train. And there's a church that's been birthed here in Colossae. And now Epaphras goes back to a Roman prison where Paul is. And he tells him the good news of this church. And it said, Paul right here says, since the day we've heard of this, we've been praying for you. Since the day we've heard the good news of the gospel taking root and transforming your hearts, and that you've been changed, and you're worshiping the Lord Jesus, and you're seeking to honor Him with your life, and you're studying His Word, and you're a group and a family of believers now. We've been praying for you constantly. And we're so thankful for God and His work. But remember, He's writing this letter because of a threat. He's writing this letter to this Colossian church, and Dr. Moeller does a great job of giving us a little understanding, and I couldn't say it better than him. So I want to tell you about this threat to the Colossian church. This deceptive philosophy argued that if the Colossians wanted to fully experience all true spiritual blessings, they needed to add Jewish legalism, ritualism, and mysticism to their faith in Jesus. The false teachers instead insisted on circumcision, Old Testament dietary laws and rules of separation, and the feasts and festivals of the Old Testament ritual calendar. They also emphasized mystical experiences triggered through bodily abuse to induce a trance-like state through which they imagined participating in angelic worship of God. Paul insisted that none of these human commands and traditions could add anything to what Christ had already provided to believers. And so once again, we keep pointing to Christ. His sacrifice was sufficient. In verses 15 through 20 here, the next passage, Paul goes on to this beautiful Christological hymn talking about that it's only through Christ. He's the head of the body. He's the firstborn of all creation. In Him we have life and breath, and it's by His sacrifice that we've been healed. And He just goes on to talk about Christ and what He's done. And guys, anything added to Christ dying for us is a false gospel. This threat was very real to these new believers in Colossae. I woke up during the night, last night, and I usually, sometimes Sunday morning before, or during the night before Sunday, I preach. I'll sometimes pull my phone up and read through my notes. Sometimes I'll pull up a news article and just kind of, just thinking and praying there. And I came across this in my Apple News. I came across this news article, and I want to share it with you. And I want to illustrate some of the things that I was teaching, and I want to tell you this morning. I want to illustrate through this article, or just through little parts of this article. It was kind of catchy. It says, "When Russia bombs a building, when Russia bombs a building full of people, this is the aftermath." This was by the Washington Post. And I'm just going to, a couple of things caught my eye on it that I want to talk to you and encourage you with as we talk about living a life in a manner worthy of the gospel. This is in Dnipro, Ukraine. 2 hours, now this was it. I had just finished watching Mississippi State try to make a comeback against Auburn last night, a late night basketball game. Some of you were also watching the same basketball game. And I immediately went to sleep pretty soon after that. So while I was sleeping, this article was being published about 9:30 last night. 2 hours after a Russian missile slammed into a Ukrainian apartment complex on Saturday, shocking the city that has served as a relatively safe haven for the war's displaced, rescue workers digging through rubble spotted a sudden movement from above. On the 8th floor, they could see the arm of a bloodied elderly woman, so buried in debris she could barely move, waving a piece of red fabric. Below her, dozens of apartments had collapsed, swallowing residents into some 30 feet of rubble. From inside the damaged building, she was somehow alive and calling for help. Just before 8 p.m., rescue workers finally dug Lyuba out of the remains of her home and slowly lowered her to the ground in a velo stretcher. She lay silently as they wrapped her in a foil blanket. One of the workers who carried her down blew her a kiss and leaned over. "I promised I was going to save you, and I did," he said. "Everything is going to be okay." Then they whisked her away in an ambulance. One of the Ukrainian Red Cross medics who helped carry her to safety said she believed both her legs were broken. Her face was covered in blood. When asked what message she would want to send the world after this attack, the medic, who identified herself only as Natalia, 36, didn't hesitate. "Stop Russia," she said. "Stop Russia." I was thinking that as I read that, I was thinking how I was praying about some way to just kind of encourage you as Paul is talking to these believers, as he's encouraging them he's fixed to write and tell them of some very real threats around them. He's thanking God and praising God for all His God has done through them, how they have given their hearts and life to Jesus and how they're growing. And if you remember last week, the gospel continues to bear fruit. It's increasing. Just some of the things it says, as it also does, and it's increasing in this church since the day we understood it. All right? And then it's since the love of God has been made known, and the word of God has been made known to us, your love in the Spirit also. And so Paul says, "Since this day from we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, bearing fruit in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God." Now you say, why was that article important? Well, I want to make some comparisons to it and some contrast, but one of the things I want to say is that Paul is encouraging these believers to continually to be filled and to bear fruit. To be filled. Since the day we've talked about and heard, we pray that you would continue to be filled. This thing right here, this lady that she, when she says with these words, "Stop Russia," it just makes me think of the gospel, that we need to remember the sacrifice. We need to remember the sacrifice of Christ. That's exactly what that's exactly what Paul is writing to them. He says, remember where you've come from. Remember who you are. Remember the gospel. In this article here, in the text of the scriptures, it's almost like there's the part of this. It's the great apostle Paul is writing this. So the one who is experienced great sufferings. He's got marks and scars all over him and these badges of honor. He's writing to these young believers and he's saying, stay the course. Be faithful. Because of what Christ has done, now live a life in a manner worthy of the gospel. Now when you think about worthy of the gospel, what does that mean? You think about sacrifice. You think about somebody who's gone before you. You think about those that are making the ultimate. It made me think about a father. I wrote some examples down in my notes. Maybe a father that's saving his family in a robbery and pays the ultimate price in his kill, protecting his family. You can't help but to think about war and those that go off to war and that die in line of duty so we can have freedom. And there's other things that, you know, that we could make note to. But I also think about this morning, I think the Apostle Paul is saying, remember Christ. Remember the gospel. Thank God that he didn't leave us in our sin, that he sent Jesus to climb up that 8-story building to deliver you for such a safety. That lady that's waving that rag trapped under rubble, 12 people would die, 73 injured all night. They had to leave people out there. They brought in heavy machinery from this missile that ravaged this big apartment complex from Russia, hit this little town in Ukraine that seemed like a safe place. It's another thing we'll talk about in a minute. Our church, we gather. We think this is a safe place. And it is, guys, but let's not get too comfortable. These rescue workers would flock to this town. And in a minute, one of them is going to say, there's no more safe places. I don't want to remind you as the church of Jesus Christ, it's a post-Christian era. There's no more safe places. We gather here to encourage and to say, remember. And we gather to say, be alert, be focused, and be faithful. And so I think the Apostle Paul to this church of Colossae this morning is saying, man, we give God praise and thanks because the gospel has worked in your life. Now live a life worthy of the gospel. This lady, as she comes down to safety, as she's been delivered and protected and wheeled off in an ambulance, they said, what's one message you want for the world? She says, stop Russia. I want to tell you, Christians, one message the Apostle Paul would say to us right here in this Colossian church, he's saying the threats around us, the gospel has brought change, but we are in a fight, we are in a battle. Live in a life worthy of the gospel. Live in a manner worthy of the gospel. I'm fixing to give you four practical ways to do that, but I'm trying to set it up for you. In living worthy of the gospel, you need to realize, first off, that's why Paul gave the first 5 or 6 verses of this chapter saying, I'm so thankful for you. I'm so thankful for the gospel. This is now who you are. This is what Christ has done. Now, he goes on to these verses, and he says, as I said, from the day we heard, I pray for you. And I feel bad. I said I don't pray for you 3 times a day. I think I meant specifically last week. Some of y'all, if you might have picked up on that. Sometimes I feel like I pray for you way more than 3 times a day. I may not call your specific names out 3 times a day, but the Lord does burden my heart for you guys and for our church. And I do, like Apostle Paul, I pray for your safety, your protection. I pray for you to be alert and to not compromise the gospel. I pray that you have a heart and a life that's displayed and manifested with works and good deeds to point people to Christ, to live faithfully, to not compromise. He says this, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Now, just before we move too quick, before we live a life worthy of the gospel, we've got to understand the gospel. And I spent a lot of time this week fleshing out in my notes that I'm not going to look down and necessarily talk to you about the importance of having a proper knowledge and understanding of who Christ is and what he's done. Because Tim Keller wrote something this past week, and there was a lot of people up in arms about what he said. And he said something to the extent of that so many people hide behind obedience of the law in thinking they're okay because they obey in the law. And you could imagine there was a groups of people that were saying, well, aren't we supposed to obey God's word? Well, isn't that a sign of obedience and a heart that's been changed? And he wouldn't negate that and argue with that. But what my mind went to was the Pharisees. My mind went to the Pharisees because they knew, they understood, they had it. but yet, and they could do it, and they could obey it, and they looked good, and they thought, and everybody thought they were okay, and they thought they were okay, but Jesus really came against them and said their hearts were like full of dead man's bones, and they were like pretty tombs on the outside and whitewashed tombs, but they were like a brood of vipers. They were filled with hate. Didn't understand Christ and who he was. They didn't see him as Savior and Lord and Master. They didn't want to follow him, but yet they could obey the law. They could obey the commandments. Guys, I want to tell you that to walk in a manner worthy of the gospel, there's three words for knowledge, wisdom, and understanding here. There's three different Greek words there. Wisdom, understanding, and knowledge. Now, do you think that's important? We've got a lot of churches in our midst today that they've just had a wonderful, wonderful time of worship. They have raised hands, they've cried, they've sang, and they feel very good. But guys, let me just remind you that living and worshiping and serving and obeying comes from proper spiritual understanding of knowledge. Vodi Bakum made the comment. He says, the modern church is producing passionate people with empty heads who love the Jesus they don't know very well. Let me read that again. Vodi Bakum. The modern church is producing passionate people with empty heads who love the Jesus they don't know very well. I just want to say thank you, Brother Ken, for what you do and making sure that there's godly doctrinal content in the things we sing. Did y'all pay close attention to the words that we just sang that lift our Savior and worship and lift our hearts up to a Savior who is worthy? There's a lot of wonderful songs out there. They're moving and beautiful. They're filled with error. They're filled with wonderful strings and chords and notes that'll make us tear up. But what in the world are we singing? Before Paul calls them to live in a manner worthy of the gospel, he tells them that it's because of proper spiritual understanding, knowledge, and wisdom that you're now able to do that. Let me see if I can get it. Get the right person who made this quote this week. It says, a whole Bible produces a whole Christian. That was, I can't give the proper credit to who that is. Vaughn's going to pull out his phone in a minute and Google it for me. A whole Bible produces a whole Christian. Do you kind of understand the context of that? That's why we encourage you to read through the Bible. That's encourage we want to get you in a systematic reading plan. It's easy to pick up the Bible and read a few verses and try to build your faith on a couple verses. But guys, the Word of God needs to take shape and root in the hearts. And that's what's happening with the Colossians here. And it's changing them. It's transformed them. And remember, Paul says, he says, for when we pray for you, since we've heard of your faith in Christ Jesus, the love that you have for all the saints because of the hope laid up for you in heaven, he says, of this you have heard before in the word of truth. Did you hear that? The word of truth, the gospel, which has come to you as indeed in the whole world, it is bearing fruit and growing, as it also does among you since the day you heard it and understood. Do you see that? Understood the grace of God in truth. Worship is predicated on a right understanding. Living is based on a proper knowledge and of who God is and what He's done and a submissiveness to Him. So since the day we've heard, we continue to pray that you would live a life worthy of the gospel. Paul is saying, let's remember our rescue. Thank you, God, for the gospel. Thank you for delivering me out of the Buffalo blizzard. Remember, I talked about the man that went out on the streets and brought safety and tried to rescue those that were going to die because they had run out of gas and they were covered in snow, and he brought them in that school. Thank you for climbing up that building, setting me free and lowering me down to safety. Thank you, God, that even when I was a sinner and rebel, you sent Jesus to climb up on the cross and lower me down to safety. His message to all of us who have been set free and lowered down, follow me to victory. The enemy's been defeated, but go continue to stop him by telling others of your rescue by the one who is able and has all power. Go stop Russia. Crush Satan's head with God's word So the four things really quickly, and just it says, clearly display the gospel with your deeds. Look at the text there in verse 10. So as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, bearing fruits in every good work. Bearing fruit in every good work or in every good deed. That word work and deed, same there, used in Greek there. So we have a calling to live in a life worthy of the gospel. It should have good deeds. We should are now servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. As Paul talked last week, he used that word doulos. I'm a bondservant. I'm a slave of the Lord Jesus. So now, as he says, in Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. So what does it look like as Christ lives in us to live in a manner worthy of the gospel? The first thing we need to do is we need to bear fruit. We need to have good deeds. We need to display good deeds, not like the Pharisees that we're trying to muster up good deeds. But remember, good deeds should flow from a proper understanding, a proper knowledge, a proper overflow of what Christ has done by setting us free from our sin, by forgiving us, by saving us, by giving us a new nature, by writing our name in the book of life, by giving us a new purpose, by giving us a calling to follow Him. The first thing we should do, we should, as I said, we should clearly display the gospel with your good deeds. What does Matthew 5:14-16 says? You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor does someone light a lamp and put it under a bowl or a bushel, but they put it forth on its stand so all in the house can see. In the same way, let your light so shine before men that people may see your good works or deeds and glorify God in heaven. All right? Another thing that I think about when I think about that, Colossians 2:6. Look right there. In writing this same letter, Paul says to the Colossians, therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. He says you've been rooted and built up in Christ, so walk or live in Him, established in the faith. So there are things that should come from who we are in Christ. We should be fruitful. There should be deeds. There should be service. There should be honoring to Him. There should be ways we treat our husband and wife. There should be ways we respond to our parents. There should be ways we act among the peers and our classmates and our people on the football team and baseball team. There are ways that we should look and honor God in our place of work and in our around our friends and family. Romans 7:4-6, this word bearing fruit. It is the hardworking farmer, Paul told Timothy, who ought to have the first share of the crops. Matthew 3:8, bear fruit in keeping with repentance. Romans 7:4-6, you have died to the law so that you may belong to another. He goes on to say several things in there. So he says, in order that we may bear fruit for God. So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. Matthew 7:17. Remember in John 15, as Jesus prayed, He says, you should go and bear fruit. Bearing fruit is a result of being filled. Paul prayed for these Colossians. In Philippians 1:9-11, Paul says, it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge. There's that word, gnosko again. With knowledge and all discernment so that you may approve what is excellent and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ. And then he says, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. So this is in all of Paul's letters. There's something similar in every one of his letters to, I'm so thankful for the gospel. It's changed your heart and now it's increasing in your bearing fruit. I'm so thankful that it's changed you and now there's repentance. There's faithfulness. There's service, there's thankfulness, there's joy, there's love for the brothers and the saints here. There's perseverance. You see what I mean? The gospel takes shape. A proper understanding of God fills us. I hope and pray that how are we filled? We come to church. You said, Stephen, you had to throw that in there, didn't you? Well, I did. I had to throw that in there. You're around other believers. You put yourself under God's Word. You read God's Word. You listen to podcasts. You read good books. You sit under good Sunday school teachers. You come hear the word preached. As we're filled, we're fruitful. In every good work, in every good deed, we should be doing good. Secondly, it says increasing in the knowledge of God. We're knowing God as we're increasing. We don't just stop. If I fill up a cup of water and I set it over there, how long is it going to take before it comes stagnant? And what about, there's a lot of ways we could illustrate that. Maybe a garden. You know, you take care of that garden a little bit and, you know, it looks good there for a little bit, but how long is it going to take before it rains and that grass is going to grow up? It's going to be choked out by the weeds. We constantly have to be being filled, taking care, pulling weeds, fertilizing. Same way with our life. We need to continually, that's a present active participle, bearing fruit. It's being filled also. Increasing in the knowledge of God. Knowing God results in knowing the will of God. Thirdly, depending on God's power. So we clearly display the gospel with our deeds. We continue to increase in the knowledge of God. Thirdly, we constantly depend on God's power. I love what Paul says in Colossians 1. Look at Colossians 1, verse 29, I think it is. Verse 28, remember, our mission statement is Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. Now look at verse 29 of chapter 1. For this I toil, so Paul labors, he works, struggling with all what? His energy that He powerfully works within me. So Paul said, he says, for I want you to know how great a struggle I have for you and for those at Laodicea, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love to reach all the riches of assurance, of understanding. You see what he says? He works hard so that they can reach all the riches of full assurance of understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ. Do you see why Paul labored? Do you see how God gave him the strength? He continued to, as the third point I said there, constantly depend on God's power because it was a work of God. It was a work of the Spirit. Remember in Colossians 2, I just said, if we are letting Christ abide in us, if Christ is in us and remains in us, we work through His power. We work through His strength. We labor. We're diligently. The Word of God is bearing fruit in our life. It's taking shape and we're displaying the good deeds and good works that come from being filled, increasing in the knowledge of God. Paul continually taught. He continually tried to make disciples. He wanted to, as he prayed for these Colossians, as he wrote this letter to them, he was reminding them of who they are. He was sharing the gospel with them. He was calling them to continue to repent of their sin, to follow Christ and only Christ, not give in to some kind of rituals and angel worship and mysteries and revelations and really good worship music that makes us feel good. He was reminding them to be careful about these false teachers and these philosophies that are all around them. And guys, remember, they're all around us. They're all around us. They're all around us. Depend on God's power. Living a life that pleases God is only possible when believers recognize their own weakness and depend completely on God's power. And lastly, Paul says this in every chapter. He started out with it. He goes with it in chapter 2, chapter 3. He spends a lot of time on it in chapter 4. He says, give thanks. Give thanks. We certainly give thanks always. Why do we give thanks? Why is it important to give thanks? I think that here it says the emphasis on thanksgiving is a powerful antidote to the legalism threatening the church. While legalism motivates people to serve and obey God in order to get some reward from God, thanksgiving motivates people to serve and obey God because of the enormous gift they have already received. Do you see why it's important to be thankful? That lady, when she was rescued off of the 8th floor under rubble, she's thankful. I guarantee you when she gets out of the hospital, she's going to live a life worthy of that being set free and being saved. Your lives should be lived in thanksgiving from one who crawled up went willingly up a tree, a cross, spread his arms out and was nailed to it. Mockery, shame, rejected by his own people, spit upon, and he did it willingly with joy, Hebrews 12 tells us, so that you could be forgiven, so that you could be set free. And now, when that lady says, stop Russia, that was her cry to all of those who have been delivered and set free, to join arms. There are threats around us, but we are victorious. Victory is certain. Go and tell of the victory. Paul is telling of his Damascus Road appearance, of Damascus Road salvation and conversion. In Acts, in Galatians, in the different letters, he's saying, we've won the war. Christ has set us free. Christ has delivered us. Go, tell people. Share the good news. Be thankful. Thanksgiving is an overflow of what Christ has done. You cannot live a life worthy of the gospel if you are not thankful for what God has done. No matter how much you try to muster it up. Be thankful. A life truly pleasing to God is motivated by sincere gratitude to the Father for spiritual blessings. Colossians 3, I have to read this to you. It says, put on then as God's chosen, holy and beloved, compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. Now this is Colossians 3, verse 15. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. And it says, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another. Here it is again. In all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. This word thanksgiving has to do with it's grace and thanksgiving. Having received grace, we're thankful for what God has done. Man. There's another quote in this article as we move toward the end here. The Living Hundreds, it says, Paul would say, remember you were trapped, hopeless, and dying. As I pray for you and God's power to work through you, please remember that and give Him thanks. Remember for your sake and for others' sake. Stop Russia by staying engaged in your purpose. See those being shattered by bombs. See the rescue workers, the church, working tirelessly. I couldn't help but think about this phrase in the article. It says, the living hundreds of them appeared out of the darkness, as they do in so many Ukrainian towns on so many nights, to clean up and hand out food and hot drinks. Paul says, Christ lives in me. The rescue in Christ now rescues others through you and me. This church here, this church, this body of believers, they would appear out of darkness. Remember 2 Peter? He's called you all out of darkness into the marvelous light. Once you had not received mercy, but He's given you mercy so that you may proclaim the excellence of Him who called you out of that darkness. I get the word, this bomb hits. The apartment complexes explode. Many are trapped. Some are being delivered and set free. And these people come out of these towns and they put on these hard hats and they start crawling and get involved because they're trying to rescue. Just as the man went on that out on that blustery blizzard highway to call people out and to bring them to safety, the church stands up, guys. The church goes out. The church makes a difference. They come out of their safe zones and they put themselves in harm's way because they've been rescued. They've been delivered. They know victory certain. Will you come out of your places? And will you engage the battle? Will you know of your purpose? As Paul says, I thank God for you because you've been filled with the understanding and knowledge. Continue to bear fruit with your good deeds. Continue to lean on the one who gives you all the power you need. Trust in His power. Continue to bear fruit. Continue to be filled. Continue to give thanks always for what He's done. Go change the world. Defeat the enemy. Depend on God's power. never cease remembering the Savior who climbed up on the cross to set you free. Come on, church. Paul says, I'm praying for you. I'm working with you. Watch out for the threats close by of the false gospel and false teachers. While Russian missiles struck out other Ukrainian cities on Saturday, none caused anything close to the scale of damage in this place. The attack came as an exceptional shock here, listen to this, because it's been something of a refuge. Guys, there's so many people sitting on pews and they live in their lives and they're so thankful that they're free from all of the bombs hitting around them. The article goes on to say, many displaced people from places such as the Russian-occupied city of Mariupol, or the front-line regions of Donetsk and Luhansk have relocated here seeking safety and normalcy. Isn't that what we do as a church? Let's go find a good place that we don't really have to get too involved. We don't have to really tell where we believe and argue certain doctrines. We don't have to really fight for power. We don't really have to get on a committee and serve. They don't even really call us to go out and evangelize and share the gospel. It's just kind of a safe place. Man, they have really good music. They've got a good daycare. My kids are protected. You know, the preacher don't have too long of sermons. He usually keeps them kind of simple. He tells us some stories. He entertains us. And let's go to that place. It's a safety zone for us. We don't have any safe places in Ukraine anymore, said this person, Maxime Kronil, 32, who volunteered to help rescue people at the scene. It needs to be clear to Europe as well, because these rockets can land there too. Be alert and remain faithful by doing good deeds. Continue to know God by going to church and reading and hearing God's word. Abide in Christ, depending always on His power in you, and always give thanks. I'm going to stop here. But there was four reasons, and we'll talk about this next week. I guess there will be a part three. There's four reasons to give thanks. God is so good. And I'll read you these verses, and we'll pray. But the four reasons in Colossians 1, there was an inheritance. There was a rescue. There was a transfer. And there was forgiveness. Look at that verse. Look at the verses in verses 11. May you be strengthened with all power according to His glorious might for all endurance and patience with joy. Giving thanks to the Father, it says, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He's qualified you. He's given you inheritance. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness. He set us free from darkness and all it represents of Satan and demons and death, pain and sickness, hopelessness, despair. Christ has delivered us from that. And it says, and He transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. We've been made new. We've been transferred. We've been delivered from darkness. We've been qualified to share an inheritance. We've been forgiven from our sins that were going to lead to death and separation. Paul's saying, remember the gospel. Give Him thanks and live a manner. Live in a manner worthy of that gospel. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You so much for Your many blessings. We thank You for the hope we have in Christ. We thank You for the deliverance of the power and penalty and grip of our sin that was going to lead to sure spiritual separation, death and hell and judgment. God, we thank You for the gospel. And God, as we think about that understanding and God, that insight and that wisdom that You gave according to Your Spirit through faithful men and women to tell us and to teach us and share with us, a church that was diligent and faithful, now we know. And God, because we know, we thank You so much and we live a life worthy of that gospel that changed us, that saved us, the forgiveness, the inheritance, the transferring from darkness into light, the rescue that took place. Now, Lord, may we live faithfully, depending on You, giving thanks, serving You, honoring You, knowing that threats are all around us. But You're going to protect us and You've got a plan and purpose for us. We love You and we thank You for the gospel. Strengthen our church to live a life worthy of that gospel. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand and respond as Brother Ken leads us?